Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
4 years ago, I was finding nothing. It was either, hey, I have to look 30 at 50, which is not humanly possible, or I'm going to curl up in a ball and die because I'm in menopause and my husband left me and I'm an empty nester. There was no like, come on, ladies, you know? So I decided to try and fill that space.
None of us are getting any younger, but is that a bad thing? We dismantle the pressure of anti-aging and embrace our gray, kind of, on this week's Band of Mothers podcast.
This is the Band of Mothers podcast.
Welcome back, breeders.
Band of Mothers podcast.
We love you.
Hi, everyone. I'm Shayna.
And I'm Tracy. Welcome back.
Welcome back. We are now at the last episode of our series called Mommy Image, where we have explored a plethora of things about the way we see ourselves.
Yes. So if you're just joining us on this episode, go ahead and scroll back. We've got an episode about beauty hacks for busy moms, a whole episode dedicated to body image, including plastic surgery. We have an episode about where we try extreme wellness practices.
There may or may not have been a colonic involved.
There may have may not been that. And now we are rounding it out with this beautiful episode exploring aging, going gray, all the implications that come from life, from growing up.
Yes.
I'm not going to say growing old.
No. Well, you know, we should. We should be able, we've learned from this episode, if anything, that we should be grateful to grow old because, like one of our guests says, we're not in a box.
No, we're not.
Dead in a box.
No, we're not, even though sometimes I feel like it. Yeah. So this episode, oh my gosh, it's such a special one. We've got an amazing interview with Wendy Eiler of Goodbye Crop Top, who, if you don't follow her, you certainly will after you hear her speak.
I'm obsessed with her.
Obsessed with her. We have a delightful interview with hairstylist and going gray expert, April Markley, that we had live here at our Denver show. And she actually tells you like how to go gray.
Like what the process is if you've given in.
if you're ready to do it, but you're like, oh, I also don't want to live with these roots for the next 3 years.
Yeah.
There's ways. Ways to get her done.
She's like the expert in Denver who does this. Like that's her specialty. So we'll learn some tips and tricks for her when you're ready to pull the goalie. Is that
what?
You've never heard that expression?
Never.
That's when people like are gonna get pregnant, they say they pull the goalie.
Really?
You've never heard that before?
Never.
It means like not use the birth control.
Interesting.
So I just used it in reference to hair dye, which obviously makes perfect sense.
And speaking of hair, we have a song.
Yeah, there's a song from the live show as well. That's an oldie but goodie. It's one of Tracy's
personal fave. Oh my gosh, I love it so much.
Specifically about hair.
Last but not least, we have beautiful messages from y'all all over the country. Thank you for calling and sharing your stories. That's one of the most important things, aspects of this Band of Mothers podcast. So thank you for chiming in. And before we get going, we would love for you to follow us on Instagram at Band of Mothers Official. If you haven't already, please subscribe or follow us wherever you're listening to this pod so you can get our new episodes every Tuesday. And make sure that you share this episode if you like it, or any of our episodes. We would really appreciate that, because sharing is caring.
It is. Just text it to another mom. It feels good.
Yes. And stick around for the end of the episode, where we will be teasing the next series. And that is very exciting,
because it's a good one.
Enjoy.
Hi, my name is Stephanie Reyes Rand, and I decided to embrace the gray during the pandemic in 2020. I had thought about going gray for a while and, had played with letting my roots grow out over the last, 10, 15 years, but always got a little shy about the big white streak in the front of my face. And then I was diagnosed with an autoimmune disease and just kind of decided that I didn't need to put anything in or on my body that might aggravate my immune system or make me feel sick. And so I just decided, you know what, part of keeping healthy and not putting anything in or on my body that might aggravate my immune system included hair color. So I decided, you know what? I'm just going to go with it. I'm 46. I look pretty good for my age. I take care of myself. And frankly, this is what a 46-year-old woman looks like. I have gray hair with a big streak of white, and so do many, many other women my age. And I think it's great that so many of us are just embracing who we are and the beauty that comes with age, and that includes silver white and salt and pepper hair. Thanks.
Hey, Shana, it's Josie, your son's teacher. I wanted to tell you about something I overheard today. A student asked me how old I was, and I said 36, because that's fine. And she said, wow, you're older than my mom. And I said, okay, cool. I look great, right? And she said, I mean, yeah, I thought you were like 50. And I didn't say anything to that. It got awkward for a moment. But then your son chimes in and says, you know, if I'm being honest, my mom still looks like she's 20. And then he just nodded and returned to his work. And it was the most precious thing. And he's not wrong, honey. You look great.
Wendy Eiler from Goodbye Crop Top. Oh my gosh. We've already been having a blast with you, and we haven't even started the interview. Thank you for joining Band of Mothers podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you.
We are so happy to have you. So your Instagram account has been a massive source of inspiration for us. You make me feel like the future is not, I'm not going to end up looking like one of the Golden Girls.
Or, you know, or if you did, you would love yourself still.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, certainly, and Shay and I talk about this all the time, like we're not, we have a very complicated relationship with kind of influencers and being influenced, especially on social media and what it can do to our psyche. But somehow you've managed to bridge influencing with honesty and inspiration without making people feel horribly bad about themselves. So good job.
Yes.
Thank you. Wow. That's a really big compliment. Thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome. So I guess I'm just curious, how did you and why did you decide to go on the gram and just start this journey publicly?
Yeah. Well, let's see. First of all, I want to thank you for that, because I think that's one of the biggest compliments that I could receive. And having three daughters, I am remiss if I'm not encouraging the younger generations of women to have something to look forward to rather than completely dread. So that is a big piece of my mission, and what I want to do is open the doors for the 40s and 30s and 20s and teens to come into this, you know, in a much better place than we did, and definitely that our moms did. But Goodbye Crop Top was, I love style. I love clothes, and not, you know, in an artsy sort of way. I like putting them together. I always have. And I love to write. So my whole life I've had notebooks and poetry and fashion magazines and short stories or journals or whatever, all crammed under my bed And I woke up 4 years ago, almost November 16th is my 4 year anniversary of Goodbye Crop Top. And I woke up and I thought, you know what? I'm going to combine these two passions and I'm going to write from women in the middle to, because I personally have made difficult choices to, you know, have a happy, good life. And I went on a hike with a friend and she said, not everyone feels this way. You need to talk about this because, so I started it and I did it because I saw a giant hole out there in the media and other places, you know, on my own journey, looking for style, inspiration and tips and motivation as a middle-aged woman to stay positive. And 4 years ago, I was finding nothing. Mm. It was either, hey, I have to look 30 at 50, which is not humanly possible, or I'm going to curl up in a ball and die because I'm in menopause and my husband left me and I'm an empty nester. And there was no like, come on, ladies, you know? So yeah. I decided to try and fill that space. Yeah.
Can I ask you to go back? You said that you've made difficult decisions to choose to live a happy life. Can you go mm-hmm. back and explain a little bit more about that?
Yeah. Well, one, I left a marriage that was not fulfilling. I had two daughters, 6 and 8, and, you know, wasn't happy for a long time and then finally decided to pull the trigger, if you will, and get out of that. And I think so many people stay in relationships that aren't fulfilling, jobs that aren't fulfilling, friendships that aren't fulfilling. And, you know, it's hard to leave. It's hard to hurt. It's hard to move on and to change. But that is part of life, is ripping that Band-Aid off and making some difficult decisions, because I'm here now to tell you what's after that is bright. And it's empowering.
Wow.
And many other things. You know, I've lost a couple very, very, very good friends. And watching them die and knowing they died young is quite inspirational to me, because I feel like I have a responsibility to live very fully for my friends that can't and those that can't. So...
Wow. And not fearing what's next as a woman in age is part of that journey to enjoy this life that we're given.
Yeah. And to get over a fear of change and, you know, breakups and moving on. You know, I think fear is debilitating. And that is the core of a lot of, to me, you know, I'm no expert or psychologist, but I look at people and I think fear is what stops you.
It's
you
true.
Know, bravery needs to be the baseline every day.
I don't think we realize how much fear we do conquer, especially when you bring little humans into the world. But then from a macro standpoint, just facing it head on, like you said, and acknowledging that bravery is the key. You know, is a great way to shift your mindset and get up in the morning and get her done, you know?
That's right. I stole that from a Peloton instructor, actually, that bravery, bravery is the baseline. But I think about that every day.
Oh.
Just if bravery is your baseline, that's where you start.
Yeah.
Do it. Try it. Do scary things.
Yeah.
Make choices that are hard, but ultimately going to be freedom for you. Yeah.
I just heard on someone on I was the listening Peloton. To. Also on the Peloton.
I just heard on the Peloton. Yeah.
It's church. But someone, I was listening to someone and she said that hopelessness is one of the lowest vibrations we can carry as humans.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And fear, those two, fear and hopelessness. Mm-hmm. And it seems to me that like that hopelessness goes below the bravery line, because mm-hmm. when you carry that and you exist in that, you don't think you can do anything. You don't think anything's going to get better. You don't think you can change. And you don't think that there's a future.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is just,
and I want to acknowledge that, you know, depression is real. I'm fortunate. I've never suffered from depression. I've kind of always been able to pull myself out. So, you know, there are different levels, different magnitudes of being able to just, you know, but But I also want to say that I don't just, I don't just wake up every day like Tigger, like, woo, I'm going to have a great day. You know, I mean, there, I have to like wake up, get my mind around it, you know, get my mind around what I need that day, mm-hmm. what my kids need that day, sure. what's going to get me through that day before my feet hit the floor. And then consciously think all day long, I've got to stay in this good place. I've got to stay in a, you know, it's not the what, it's the how, basically, you know, it's never the what. The what's going to come at you. And life right, does always. Not get, life does not get easier. It fucking gets really hard and it gets harder and it gets more complicated, but we should be getting better. We should be getting stronger, mm-hmm. you know, with the experience that we've had and the things we've been through at my, you know, in my case, 53, you should be able to rid yourself of the toxic people, the relationships, the let things roll off your back. Get yourself in a place
where it gets clearer. It doesn't necessarily get easier, but the problems and solutions, you know, you get older and I feel like you start to just hover above and you can look down because you've got that wisdom and that experience where you can like, okay, this isn't my first rodeo in this situation, but that's now right. I'm going to make a decision that's for me and not for everyone else.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So when it comes to fears as we get older, I feel like me in particular, and a lot of what this episode is about is the fear of what's happening to our bodies, our faces, our skin, our confidence when it comes to style. And one of the things that's so fabulous about you is, it, at least from the outside, it certainly seems that you have taken being a woman in her 50s and just said, I'm still sexy, I'm still stylish, I'm still relevant. And are empowering other women to feel the same way. So when you get out of bed in the morning, like you were saying, and bravery is your baseline, are you like, okay, I'm just going to put on a great sweater? You know, like what is the thing? Like what is the confidence for your body and your, and aging as a woman? Does it come from your style? Does it come from your genes?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good question. I always think it comes from the inside out. I mean, for the majority of the time, right? Your mind is powerful. And, but saying that, sometimes it's a chicken and egg thing. Sometimes I'm feeling really gross and terrible and I'll go throw on a great outfit or something that makes me feel good and it puts a spring in my step. And, you know, I'm fearful that sounds a bit shallow, but sometimes it works that way. But I think your baseline mentality has to be there. Trust me. And I have shit show days. I have days when I break. I have days when I sit and cry for 20 minutes. I don't want to paint this picture that I'm, you know, like the Dalai Lama over here. I mean, I am far from it. But to answer your question, I believe it's important to have your basics in place, and I can talk about those, but you know, your basic health rules in place. And are you moving? Are you drinking your water? Do you have a spiritual practice? Are you sleeping as well as you can? Who are you hanging around with, right? And if you work hard every day to make sure these basics are in place, everything else is just a bit easier, at least for me. Mm. You know, it's easier to get out of bed in the morning and face the day if you're healthy and taking care of yourself. And it's a mindset, and it's hard work to be positive, to get out of bed positive. But yes, sometimes I'll throw on that great chic boho dress and it'll lift my spirits. I'm not going to lie.
Well, and I don't think you should feel bad about saying that either. I mean, that's what you're, you know, your Instagram is full of pictures of you looking amazing, you know, and that's inspiring to people. I don't think, you know, that feeling like you have tricks and ways to physically feel good about yourself is a bad thing. I think that's great. I think more women need to not apologize for wanting to look good too. You know, like I feel guilty all the time about how vain I am about aging, you know, when I go get Botox or just how bad I can feel about myself, just knowing that I'm 44 and that I don't look like I'm 34 anymore. And there's a lot of guilt associated. Like I'm not supposed to do things that make me feel better physically, you know?
Oh man. Yeah. No, you got to lose that.
Right.
I have no guilt around that. And to me, you know, style for me is creativity. Mm. That's, you know, that's a creative outlet for me. And, you know, when I started this, I thought, oh, is this going to look shallow or is this going to look vain? And then I thought, you know, I had a very dear friend look at me and said, this is your creative, this is one of your creative expressions. This is like writing. This is something you love to do. Share it, right? Share these tips and hints. So I don't suffer any guilt anymore, but I understand why you do, why women do, why people do. It's a toxic narrative out there. Mm-hmm. There is a toxic narrative.
I think that's a great way of differentiating it, because there's this toxic narrative that I think we, you know, our audience, our community, if we get pushback about what we talk about, it's like, well, I just can't go buy everything on Goop, right? Like not realistic. Mm-hmm. I don't have time to go get this, and this done, or the money. But on the other hand, we do have to acknowledge that we have to take care of ourselves.
Absolutely.
Like you have to make an effort to stay healthy, to stay mentally healthy. And sometimes that takes money and diverting money from one vice, you know, potentially, and putting it towards something else that's a long-term investment in yourself. Mm-hmm. And also it takes discipline and a mindset shift. And I'm curious, you said you've got your four things. Are you sleeping, moving your body? Are those kind of your four or your tenets, or maybe there's more? And then how do you apply that to aging or not aging, and sort of your viewpoint on growing older?
Oh, right. Because I want to hear you talk about the whole anti-aging term.
Yeah. Well, gosh, I mean, there are so many things running through my head here, because I am trying to disrupt here. I am greatly trying to disrupt it. Actually, that word is overused. I'm trying to...
Yeah, you have to be like a 24-year-old skinny guy.
I am trying to... Yeah, I'm trying to destroy this and change that toxic narrative. And I hope others come on board with me for this, you know? And by the time my daughters are of a certain age, I hope, like I said earlier in this conversation, I hope that has changed. But look, I don't want to hold anything in my hand that says anti-aging on it, because if I'm not aging, I'm in a box or an urn, and I don't want to be there. So not to mention, and I've said this before for those that follow me and that, you know, antifungal, antibacterial, anti-inflammatory, the word anti evokes fear. Mm. It evokes fear. And that is a psychological manipulation to sell things. Mm-hmm. It's that simple. So the patriarchy reigns. We're all broke and none of it works.
Right.
Okay. You're never, ever going to put a cream on your eye that's going to, in my opinion, that's going to take those deep creases away. Go get Botox if that's what you want to do, really, right? Mm-hmm. And I want to be really clear. I want to be really clear because I got a lot of feedback when I really started pushing hard on this, that I don't care what you do. I don't care if you do Botox or fillers or whatever. Question your intention mm-hmm. around it.
Yeah.
Understand your why. And, you know, I say this to my friends, like, if you walk in a room and people go, like, what happened to her? You may want to like reconsider like, your why, yeah. right? If you walk
or your
in a
doctor.
Room and, or your doctor. Exactly. Exactly. Or if you walk, but if you walk in a room and someone looks at you and says, my God, you look great. You look rested and healthy. And don't, mm-hmm. you don't have to tell your secrets. You say, thank you. And understand that you're feeling good. You're looking good. Anyway, but back to this. I mean, our beauty standards are products of a capitalist and patriarchal society. Mm-hmm. Period.
Period.
They prey on the weak. They want us to feel bad about ourselves. And I'm tired of it. There's no quick fix. Mm-hmm. There's no, there. You know, and I'm very leery of anything in a bottle that says it's the fountain of youth and it's going to change my life, because it's not. So speaking of that, when you started this question, yes. I mean, it's mind-blowing to me how many women I talk to and I say, are you just doing the basic thing? Mm. Like, are you putting in the work to do the basic things? Mm. Or are you just waking up one day going, I look and feel haggard. I'm going to buy the $700 face cream because it's going to make me feel better. No, it's not. It's never going to. So, you know, you had asked me about hacks. Can I talk about this mm-hmm. right now? Because totally. I don't believe in hacks.
Okay.
Okay. Like, do the work. Put the work in. You know, are your basics in place? Are you drinking your water? Are you moving? Do you have a spiritual practice? Are you hanging around with assholes that make you feel bad about yourself? This is a huge one. You know, like Will Smith said, are the people in your life putting logs on your fire or are they pissing on it? And if they're pissing on it, they need to go, right? So that's huge.
That's
huge.
Who
are you hanging around that makes you feel like you need to go buy this or do this or look a certain way or be a certain way? Reconsider your friend group or your partner or whatever that is. I mean, that to me has been a game changer.
Well, just on that point a little bit, I mean, that's an interesting thing. I think, especially as we get older, and I've had this conversation with several people, you know, as I'm on the downside going towards 50 and middle age for sure.
The upside.
Sorry. Yes.
Let's reframe that.
Sorry. Bring it back. Yes. I'm on my way to 50 no matter what. But I
thank
had a
God.
Friend. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Totally. But I had a friend tell me friend issues happen all our lives, but they get harder when you're older because, again, you know more, you're feeling more, hopefully, if you're following your spiritual practice and you're acknowledging mm-hmm. more. And it just isn't as easy to navigate sometimes when you're older. So I'm curious when you say like around people, I mean, there's like toxic friendships, but I also think like by this age, you're not really... A lot of people are kind of have moved on from that sort of surfacey group, but you can still have a group of people that maybe aren't so overtly toxic, but is negative or fearful or lack-minded or something. And I'm just curious like what your parameters are when you say like, are you hanging around the right people? Because I think it's much more complicated as we get older.
I don't hang around with people who are negative or lack-minded or fearful. I wish them the very best. If a friend has a moment of that, which I do and we all do, I'm the first one to be there for you. But you outgrow that. I think you just get to a point. And it boils down to this. I have such limited time. So my time outside my work and my family is so limited that if I sit down with somebody, I want to be there. And I want to lift them and I want them to lift me and I want to learn from my friends. I want friends that are smarter than me.
Yeah.
You know?
It's obvious that your confidence is growing and that, you know, even starting this Instagram 4 years ago has probably changed you and inspired you, and that you're gaining energy from all the energy you're giving women. When I started looking into you, Tracy's been following you for a long time and introduced me to you. I just wanted to have your confidence. I want to, and we talk about this in our last episode, actually, about style particularly. Like, there's something inside of me at 44 that I haven't
tapped into,
but she's there and you've got it. And this lady's got it. And we need more women who have that. Like, what is that thing, that inner glow, that confidence, that adoption, that of age, and saying, I am lucky, I am fortunate, and I am grateful to be on this earth today. Mm-hmm. And my children think I'm beautiful, and my partner thinks I'm beautiful, and my friends think I'm beautiful, and I am. So I am.
And that's what my question, I'm trying to reduce the community skepticism that people, that this is actually attainable.
It hasn't all been easy. I will say I was very unhappy in the marriage I was in. And, you know, not sound. I mean, I knew, like you're saying, I knew she was in there. Mm-hmm. I've always known she was in there and I've always seen glimpses of it. But when I made the decision to get out of that and to start being myself and being okay with that, and, you know, things started to change for me. Hopefully I'm answering this well, but I think the best way to say is it's been hard work. I've put it in. You know, I've seen lots of psychologists in my day. I have not walked through this life with a silver spoon in my mouth. I've worked since I was 13. I've all this stuff, and this is not a martyr poor me thing.
No.
This is just my story.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I get it that people look at me because I get it all the time. Easy for you to say, and easy for you to say, well, no, not really easy
for
me to say.
Which is a shitty thing to say, frankly.
And, like, you know, and P.S., I get the like, oh, you're slim and you're this. Well, I work my ass off, okay, for that, for starters. I've gained and lost 80 pounds 3 times with my babies, and one time I almost didn't get it off. I understand how hard that is. I've done it. You know, like, I feel like I've done these things and there are not many bullets you can fire at me that I can say, yep, I went through that. Me too. I mean, there's definitely some more tragic experiences than I've had, but I feel like that's why I can do this.
Well, I feel like you are the kind of person that I would definitely have lunch with and learn from. And I also feel like you and this conversation are something I personally really needed to hear today. So just wanted to say that.
And I love that we started having you on to talk about sort of, you know, we're in this mommy image series and talking about beauty. But I mean, one of my biggest takeaways besides you get quotes from Peloton instructors is that it's really about the people you surround yourself with, which has nothing to do with cream or a spa treatment. And that's a huge takeaway that I don't think any of our guests have really focused on, that it is so much of your inner and outward beauty is by the people you surround yourself with.
100%.
That's like fascinating and amazing and 100%. So wise.
Yeah,
I strongly believe that.
That's why I look so great, because I spend all my time with Shayna.
That's it. You guys are glowing because you're always attached to the hip.
And have a selfie
light. We have a selfie light. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and Branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hello. The number one secret, I think, to feeling young, living the life you want to live, and all this aging business is sleep. You've got to sleep. My life hit a turning point when I was about 38 years old. So in addition to this terrible brain fog, not having any energy, anxiety, and stubborn weight, like in spite of all these weight loss programs and exercise and supplements and detoxes, it just wasn't budging. So in spite of all that stuff, my biggest issue was I wasn't sleeping, and I hadn't been sleeping for over 7 years. My kids were 5 and 7 at the time, and they had been sleeping solidly through the night since infants, so I can't really blame it on them. And I knew I wasn't going to get my answer for sleep and all the rest of that stuff in conventional medicine, because I had spent 20 years in conventional medicine with almost half that time as a nurse practitioner in primary care. And I knew exactly how my story would go if I went that route. So, you know, maybe I'd have some labs done. They'd check my thyroid, check my TSH, tell me everything was fine. And this was just part of getting older, part of having kids, you know, hand me my Band-Aid prescription and send me on my way. And I didn't want that to be my story, and I wasn't willing to settle. So I mean, I knew there had to be a better answer and a better way. And I became my own client and solved my sleep using functional plant medicine. And within a week, I was sleeping soundly. It was so glorious. And then everything else started to get into alignment. The brain fog, the anxiety, the energy, and then the weight fell off. For those of us who don't sleep, you know, if you're not sleeping, everything else is just so hard. Because when you have the tools and know what's going on in your unique body, getting older and getting healthy truly doesn't have to suck. And it can actually, for real, be fun.
Hi there, Band of Mothers. This is Lori calling from just outside Toronto, Canada. And I just wanted to let you know briefly about my going gray story, because I started coloring my hair. I started going gray when I was in my very early 20s, and I'm now 51. So that's a lot of trips to the hairdresser. I was going every 3 weeks for, honestly, decades. I would get the skunk stripe after about 2 weeks. And when the pandemic hit, I was forced against my will to give up trips to the hairdresser because we were locked up raw up here. And so I went like 6 months without being able to do any kind of coloring. I have so much thick hair, and I tried coloring my hair myself once and it was a disaster. So I knew I couldn't do it and started wearing headbands. And then finally just thought, you know what, I'm going to do this. I'd wanted to do it forever, and thought, yeah, I'm finally going to let my gray come in. And to say it transformed my life is not an understatement. I had my business take off, my personal life, my confidence. I just feel like I'm myself. I'm free. I look very different, but I've never looked more myself. I am so encouraging of women who are considering going gray. It can be a bit tough, and I did have the help of a hairdresser to sort of get me over the finish line when I looked like half an Oreo cookie, like the top half was white and the bottom half was very dark. And the results have been phenomenal. I love my gray hair. I had no clue it would look like this. I thought it would look like a sidewalk. Someone told me the other day it looks like satin, like silver satin. And I agree. So I've never had anyone I've heard of who's gone gray and has regretted it. And if you don't like it, you can always color it. But yeah, I'm very, very team gray. Bye.
If and when you decide to embrace your gray and you want a stylist to help you, what does that even look like? We asked April Markley, professional stylist and Wella Master color expert, what that process entails and why so many of us are finally letting our natural roots show. Here's what she had to say.
Everybody, welcome April.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for coming. So, gray hair, I feel like, is kind of in the forefront right now. A lot of women have grown their hair out because of the pandemic. how did you fall into, and what do we call it? Do we call it transitioning? Do we call it going gray? Like, what's the proper terminology?
Yeah, there's a lot of different things out there. I call the artificial kind, I call it gray transformation. But, you know, if you're not doing it artificially, you might be calling it embracing your gray as well.
Okay.
So yeah, there's a few different kind of buzzwords about it.
And so artificial is when you're like brown hair and you just go gray and it's like painted on, colored gray?
Somewhat, yeah. If you're covering up your natural gray hair with brown and then you're coming to me to artificially have it look more like what your natural will look like.
Gotcha.
Once you go through that process.
Okay, so that's, okay, so interesting. So that's, you can do, so what am I trying to ask? I'm trying to ask you, how the fuck do you go gray? You dye your hair.
Yeah, so like you have all this brown dye on top of
yes.
it. But you want to just do it in one, you don't want to grow it out. Is that what you're saying? You want to just dye
thing,
it
like,
gray.
You can
yes,
do that.
Yes, absolutely. So you either can shave all of your hair off.
Okay.
And just, you know, let it come in that way. You can kind of, if you've been covering your hair, you can let the natural grow in and have sort of a line of demarcation
mm-hmm.
as you wait. Usually it takes about, depending on the length of your hair, usually it takes about 2.5 years. And a lot of times there is that strong line.
Right.
So the other way is to go see a stylist and come in and we can do an artificial color for you to wear that looks very similar to what your hair will look like once it grows completely and naturally. And so you're already kind of embracing that artificially and kind of getting into that groove. And you're not walking around with a line in your hair for 2.5 years.
It's like reverse. Right. Okay. That's interesting. It's like reverse roots. It's like, no, it is roots. It's actually,
well, it's
kind
of like going blonde. Right? Because you would have to lift all the color out.
Exactly.
Right.
Yes.
But then put gray or silver.
Yes.
Do they call it gray in the book? When you like pick it out, you're like, I'll just have the gray.
Yeah. Are there multiple colors of gray?
So typically there's two tones. So we call it salt and pepper.
Okay.
If that sounds familiar to people. So you have silver whites and then you have a darker slate gray. And every person, the way their hair comes in that way is usually totally different. Some people have more silver white in the front. Some people are completely silver white at that point. Some people have a lot of dark mixed in, especially down at the nape of the neck. And usually that darker color is just sort of an ashier tone.
Okay.
That's there.
So how did you get into sort of being known for doing this? Like, how did you fall into this?
So there's a celebrity stylist in California named Jack Martin Colorist. If anybody's heard of him, he's gotten pretty well known for the technique. And he's a really kind human. And for hairstylists, he was sharing a lot of his process and how he was doing this on Instagram. So I was looking for a challenge and I just decided I was going to try it. And so I studied all of the things that he was, you know, putting out there, his formulas, the ways he was doing it. And I kind of tested it out on a couple people.
And then it just took off from there.
Yeah. Initially I was looking for the challenge and then I just really started getting a lot of fulfillment and just real joy out of giving women this option, because for a long time I was the stylist that was telling women who came to me saying, look, I'm done with this. Can you please I just want this to be now.
Right.
And I would be like, I can't do that.
Because it really is, like, if you don't want to wait 2 years, it really is a process.
So even Jack Martin calls this the hardest color correction in all of hair.
Really?
Especially the darker colors. So it's pretty, it can be hard.
So first of all, why do women come to you? What's the reasoning? Are they just tired of it? Do they want to change? What's usually the typical conversation?
I would say the number one thing is they feel this burden of covering those roots sometimes up to every 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can't make it in the salon, because who can make it in the salon that much? Not many, I wouldn't think. Or who wants to, really, right? We have all these other things about life that we're trying to do.
Right.
They're trying to do it at home. And, you know, that's always a problem. I'm a hairstylist. I don't even do my hair at home. Yeah. You know? So, and then there's, you know, the spray cover-ups, and you're messing with that. And every, it's just one more thing you have to kind of like be conscious of before you leave if those roots are growing in and you haven't had them covered. So that's the number one thing is, okay. is women are just kind of over that, just that burden.
Yeah. Financially and time-wise.
Absolutely.
And, is there a general age range, or does it really, do you find it's starting to get younger and younger now that more people are doing it, or what are you noticing?
Yeah, I definitely do. I think that the age range spans, and you know, there's women who start graying in their 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And think about that, right? Think if you were almost all gray from the age 25 and you had that every 3-week cover up going on all that time. It's just a lot.
So what are some of the fallacies and the myths that people think about embracing your gray? What would you say people worry about the most?
Yeah. I just think that there's this misconception that as women, we grow in our natural silver or gray hair, we immediately have a Betty White roller set.
Yeah.
Which I love Betty White, but... It's just not true.
Yeah. I love you Betty can still White. Have a rockin' haircut.
Totally. Yeah. I just think there's a misconception that you're automatically going to be aged if you wear your hair silver or gray.
Do you get any vibe? Not that I really care, but I'm just curious. Do people worry about what men think, or is it what women think?
Absolutely. They worry about what men think. And Jack Martin actually just put up a post. One of his clients shared with him that she did 2 dating profiles. She's in her 60s. She did 2 dating profiles, one with her colored hair and one with her silver gray. And she got more attention with her silver gray profile than she did with the other one. So really? That's food for thought.
That's amazing.
Well, she's in her 60s, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be, I'm just saying, like, I think that maybe at some point you're not hiding anything. Like, you true. Have gray hair.
True. That's but, true. But a lot of women carry that all the way into their 80s. I mean, I know women that yeah. continue to color their hair for forever. So
yeah, sure.
I feel like women are stepping, I feel like we're stepping into our power a little bit more year after year, getting a little bit more comfortable in our own skin. And where are you seeing that reflected in hair? And what do you just want to like tell all women when it comes to hair?
Well, I just think there's all these rules, right? Like, and we repeat these in our head and we hear these. And, you know, if women come to me say, well, I'm probably too old to have my hair this long. And it's like, well, who made that rule that
right.
at this age you can only have hair so long? If it makes you feel good, then wear your hair long.
What is that, by the way? There is a thing that like apparently when you're old you have to have short hair. What is this?
This is what I'm talking about. Like, we didn't make these rules.
I mean, I imagine it just comes from just being over styling your hair, so you just want like a easy haircut.
But well, imagine like, yourself milking the goats. Like, is your hair long or is it short?
Oh, it's crazy long. It's in a braid and it's for sure gray. Like, for sure. It's like...
And so are your pubes. Braided in a braid.
Oh, sure. I mean, that's been going on for years. So I can't say anything about that. But yeah, no, I mean, you're right. Like that Betty White, there was like a whole phase in the 80s where everyone had to have those tight curls. And that ages you.
Yeah, totally. And it's just those rules that I just hope that women are starting to be able to question that as we come into these spaces where we are deciding how we're going to age and what aging looks like to us. And it doesn't have to look like it did before. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, if it makes you feel good, and I would say the same thing about continuing to color your hair. Just because I offer this transition and I support it doesn't mean I think everybody should do it. My mom has completely silver white hair and she will not stop coloring your hair, and because it doesn't make her feel good.
Mm.
And I tell women that all the time. It's like, how do you feel? And if it's going to make you feel not good when you look in the mirror, then don't do it. Just do what feels the best.
So if anybody's curious, like if you're just, if you're gray curious, what would you... What would you say? What would you say people should start thinking about or like look into?
Well, a lot of times people are concerned, you know, for, especially if we've identified as a brunette all of our lives and all of a sudden we're going to have this super light hair that's lighter than blonde. That can be really shocking. Mm. So one of the first things I would tell you to do is go try on some wigs. Go with a girlfriend, take some pictures. And there's also an app called Facetune too that apparently I haven't tried it myself, but I've seen people do it and you can change the color of your hair, see what that looks like. Mm. And so, yeah, I think just, you know, kind of feeling into it and seeing how you feel about it first.
Before you just do the whole thing.
Definitely want to think this one through.
Okay. And we'll end on that. That's a perfect thing.
April, thank you so much.
We will have all her information up if you guys want to look her up. Thank you, April.
I think I started noticing my grays around 30, and I felt really excited about it because my grandma used to brag about how she had like the really good gray hair, like the really true silvery white strands, and she never had to color it, and she was super proud of it, and that, you know, she prays that I have the same amazing gray hair one day that she has. So when I saw my first gray, and I was like, oh yeah, that thing looks cool. It was like sparkly in the sun. I started getting really excited about going gray and having the amazing hair that my grandmother always felt so good about. And that's what started coming in. And now some years later, I've got a whole lot of it coming in. And I am not doing anything about it. I've never colored it. I'm letting it go. I really enjoy seeing it. It looks beautiful. It's sparkly and shiny in the sunlight. And, I don't have to maintain anything. It's just natural. It's just there. It's a little wiry sometimes and pokes out, but you know, that's just what it does. And I think that it's beautiful.
Oh, I feel like the old me. Preach. I've got a secret to tell everyone. I'm a brunette, but my bush is blonde. 2, 3, 4. I've got a secret I'm dying to tell. Something about me that's under my belt. It's sunny down south in my private place. That's right, my carpet don't match my drapes. I got a secret to tell everyone. I'm a brunette, but my bush is blonde. It looks like my vagina has been out in the sun. I'm a brunette, but my bush is blonde. We're talking platinum tresses in my pants. It doesn't make much sense, but I got golden hair in my underwear. I want you to know I'm a Goldilocks down below. Mount Pubis has been capped in snow. They like to call me Marilyn Monroe. And I got a secret to tell everyone. I'm a brunette, but my bush is blonde. Looks like my vagina has been out in the sun. I'm a brunette, but my bush is blonde. We're talking platinum tresses between my thighs. I'm trying to rationalize it. My crown is brown, but my snatch don't. It's true, blondes really do have more fun. I got a patch of weed right where my legs meet. Though I'm brown up top, I got little yellow my eye. She's my downstairs cutie. An Aryan beauty. I'm a brown-haired civilian with a golden Brazilian. When I'm naked in a room, it's like Seal and Heidi Klum. I'm a huge Cheers fan. I've got my own salmon diet. So would you like to take a trip on my yellow landing strip.
Trumpet solo.
I'm a brunette, but my bushes, my bushes, my bushes, my bushes, my bushes.
Thank you.
So good. Thank you for that.
We like to end these podcasts with something we call a love bomb. And when we were between kind of podcast concepts, which we've been many times now, reinventing ourselves, like Madonna.
Without the golem arms.
Yes. Or the fat transfer butt.
Right.
We do something called love bomb. So if you go through our podcast feed, you'll see short episodes. And those short episodes are 6 or 8 or 10 minutes long. Those are little love bombs, little moments of inspiration, little things that Tracy and I traded off week to week to just kind of keep Band of Mothers going and make everybody feel good ultimately. And so we ended the last podcast, live podcast, with a love bomb about the subject. And we want to do that for you again today. So we'll be reading this, but we're excited to share it with you. And this is how we're going to end the show.
Mommy image. Our whole Band of Mothers podcast is about how we are women who experience life through the lens of being moms. And certainly we experience our self-image and body image through and because of our experience in motherhood. Learning to accept these changes and embrace it all is the real challenge and gift.
Tracy and I are coming up on our 9th anniversary of starting the Pump and Dump Show. And we can proudly say we are not the same women who started this show. We've aged. Our kids are older. Life has happened almost in a blink, it seems. And when we started to really reflect on the past 9 years, it's fascinating how much things really started to change around the age of 40. Because they have to, as women, as partners, as moms, physically, spiritually. And at 40, it becomes very clear that we don't want to or have the energy to pretend we are anything that we're not.
The women we were in our 20s are so completely different than the women we are now. And aging women are sexy as hell. Aging women have no choice but to embrace their changing bodies and deepening souls if they want any chance at happiness and peace. I didn't really understand until now that while I may have wrinkles and crow's feet, those lines are from 45 years of laughter, and that I could crave open-mindedness and appreciate time to myself. That I would need the years of adventure and surprises and suffering and celebrations and disappointment, successes and trauma to form the wisdom needed to teach my child how to be a good human. So yeah, I've changed. We're changing. We are no longer shiny new objects, but eventually youth evolves into more grounded adulthood. And if you listen closely to your soul, you'll see that you have the wisdom and interest to find your whole self, your gold self. It's what Carl Jung said and meant by the gold is in the dark.
The only way out is through the self-doubt and bad thoughts and into a space of acceptance. And personally, my pride and insecurities fight me on this all the time. But I'm growing to know in my heart, and more importantly, through my kids' eyes, what's really there and what really matters. I came across this poem by writer Donna Ashworth that was posted with a beautiful photo of an old woman and all of her beautiful lines on her beautiful face. And oh, I saw this ironically the day after I had just had a whole new set of filler and Botox in my face. But regardless, Tracy and I feel like this poem is the perfect thing to share with you as we sign off from our time together exploring mommy image. And here it is. Don't prioritize your looks, my friend. They won't last the journey. Your sense of humor, though, will only get better. Your intuition will grow and expand like a majestic cloak of wisdom. Your ability to choose your battles will be fine-tuned to perfection. Your capacity for stillness,
for living in the moment will blossom. And your desire to live each and every moment will transcend all other wants. Your instinct for knowing what and who is worth your time will grow and flourish like ivy on a castle wall. Don't prioritize your looks, my friend. They will change forevermore. That pursuit is one of much sadness and disappointment. Prioritize the uniqueness that makes you you and the invisible magnet that draws in other like-minded souls to dance in your orbit. These are the things which will only get better.
Thanks, you guys.
Thank you so much for joining us.
And thanks, you guys.
Feel free to hang out and drink.
Absolutely.
And thank you. You guys are so sweet. Wow.
Thank you.
This has been a great series, Shay. No, I've really enjoyed it. It's, I think it's definitely challenged both of us. We keep saying it every episode and certainly made us look at things from a new perspective, which is always good. And just so grateful for everyone who contributed over these episodes for Mommy Image, because your stories, your voices, your vulnerability, your honesty have been so inspiring. And the conversations we've been having on Instagram, all of it, just so grateful for everyone in, you know, following along on this little series
journey about Mommy Image, which brings us to telling you about next week's series that begins, which is called It Me. It's about identity in motherhood. We'll be exploring so many fun things about identity in motherhood, including the Enneagram, including how we see ourselves once we become mothers. Lots of really great stuff coming up. So make sure that you're following us at Band of Mothers Official to see what we're looking for, because again, it's your stories that inspire us to do this.
And again, if you haven't subscribed yet or followed us so that you can get our updates every Tuesday, please do. We do new episodes every Tuesday. If you feel so inclined, we would be ever so grateful for a review or a 5-star rating. That helps get this podcast out there. And once again, if you've got something to share, you can call our bomb hotline at bandofmothers.com/share-your-story. And last but not least, we have a super high vibe, super awesome Facebook group just for moms like you called Band of Mothers.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome to join us.
Please join us on there. There's thousands of moms just asking each other questions and it's making each other laugh. And it's very fun to be a part of. So
thank you for traveling along with us. We will see you next week with It Me. We love you.
Bye.
Don't forget to listen to Band of Mothers podcast weekly on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Band of Mothers podcast.